And this hour, open lines with Cheryl Jones. Make the call. UFOs, the birds falling out of the sky, you name it, we've got it when we come back. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you along with Cheryl Jones. We're going to take your calls this hour. Cheryl, what's your reaction to the June 25th report from the government about unidentified flying objects?
Well, I was not surprised. We talked a little bit about that last time. Uh-huh. My last show was the night before the release of the task force report, and I believe I mentioned that I expected two different reports, which is indeed what happened, with one minimal seven-page and the other one almost twice as long, if not a little more. And I've always felt like the people who are in control of information, no matter what it is, but certainly in this particular case, they're not going to release anything they don't want to release, and they'll release it when they want to and to the extent that they want to release it. That's not in our control. That's in someone else's control.
You expected this, didn't you?
Yes, I expected it to be basically what they said, that they recognize that there are UFOs or UAPs, objects, something that is occurring that they cannot identify, and that obviously the technology of the speed is much faster than they say that we are able to create right now. So we just wait and see, and so many different groups are taking different directions, and I think we will continue to see more pop up, just as in the Galileo project that we were introduced to this past week.
Absolutely. Let's take some calls here for you. Let's go, first of all, to Richard in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. First-time caller. Welcome to the program. Hi, Richard.
Hi. Great program. I was wondering if this bird virus affects waterfowl, like ducks and geese.
So, according to what Laura Kearns has told me, and the other research that I've done, there's been no indication of that so far. And she also did mention that it hasn't affected poultry either. So that is the mysterious thing that is so perplexing.
Mm-hmm.
How different species are seemingly targeted or singled out.
If it's just bacteria, it's bizarre that it just finds its way to the songbirds, Cheryl.
Yes, that is. That's very strange. Let's just hope that it isn't something that did escape from the lab that went wrong. We're familiar with that theory.
Next up, let's go to Captain Bob in the Big Apple in New York. Hey, Bob, go ahead.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Cheryl.
Thank you, Captain.
Quite upsetting. I called you in 2017, and I gave you some information I received from my father about 4/11/2020. It did come true, I'm sorry to say. Again, we are getting our warning signs right now.
Yep.
We are very close to 911. George, I'm sorry. Cheryl, I'm very sorry. We are so blind to see these warning signs, not just the floods and the fires and the birds falling out of the sky. Our father says to us, I will not let that marble die.
You think we're in end times, Captain?
Yes, we are. I'm sorry to say. I'm very sorry.
All right, get your composure a little bit, and thank you for your calls. Cheryl, do you get very spiritual? I mean, do you follow biblical followings, end-time prophecy, Book of Revelations?
Yes, I am a spiritual person. I'm not religious, but I am a spiritual person, and I'm watching this, as is everyone else, and I don't know how much is in our control. I think we have a lot. I think we have a lot of it in our control, depending on what we do. We have free choice to a certain degree. In another sense, our freedoms seem to be quickly diminishing. But I think a lot of it just depends on what continues to happen, how all the pieces of the puzzle come together, and we don't know what the time frame might be, you know, if indeed that is the case.
Nobody's supposed to know the time.
That's exactly right.
If I remember my Bible teachings. Let's go to good old Barry, old buddy, old friend, old pal of mine. Welcome to the show. Hello, Barry. How'd I do? I got it right.
Hey, old buddy, old pal.
There you are.
That's me. Well, Tom, George, I was just telling Tommy, and I'll tell you in the show, I'm a retired biologist, and ornithology was my specialty. I did my master's work on the great blue heron.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I thought I had told you, but anyway, yeah, I was in 1975 or 76, I was duck hunting on Currituck Sound, North Carolina, up on the Outer Banks. And there were thousands and thousands of starlings, you know, the black with little brown spots, flying through the air. And all of a sudden, George, they started falling out of the sky. And before it was over with, George, around our duck blind, there must have been 200 or 300 dead starlings.
Jeez.
Well, being the ornithologist, I got several of them all. And when I got back to Wilmington, North Carolina, I took them out to the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, and talked to my ornithology professor, and I had them with me, and we did little autopsies on them, George, and opened up the guts and tried to find something wrong. And we came to the conclusion, which has been semi-proven by now, that the disease was not biological, it was viral. It was viruses that were killing them by the hundreds. What do you think?
Like bacteria?
No, not a bacterium. It was a virus.
Like COVID?
As a matter of fact, real similar, absolutely. And that's why they were falling out of the sky like crazy. And now that was basically a theory back in the mid-70s. But it's semi-proven now. And Shell, what do you got to say about that, girlfriend?
Well, I think you are really, really smart.
He may be onto something, I'm telling you.
Maybe. If you stop and think about it, if a bird is flying and it's sick, it's going to fall out of the sky because that takes an awful lot of energy and strength to continue flying, especially the migratory birds. So that's just going to happen. Now, there is a certain cycle that there are a certain number of birds that get sick and die, and one-third, as I mentioned before, one-third of the baby birds generally are not don't even make it to the adult life cycle. So there are natural things that happen, and they run into buildings and all kinds of things. So the fact that he was directly involved in that and found out that it was, that particular case is quite interesting. But I wanted to mention that Laura Kearns did mention that it definitely was not the Salmonella, the West Nile, the Newcastle, that it was not a normal conjunctivitis, as is normally seen in the birds that they can treat. But in this case, she said that the sparrows, the blue jays, and so on, were just telling us something that was not quite right. But they still don't know what is causing it or just how serious it is. But she did want to make a point that it was not as serious, they didn't think at this point, as the West Nile virus. So they just still have a lot of the pieces of the puzzle to put together.
Did 5G come up at all, Cheryl?
She didn't think that was a major theory that they were considering there, because I did also talk with her about the pesticides, the chemtrails, the 5G, and they did not think that, at least at this point, the researchers that she works with, that was a main theory to consider at this point.
Ironic, though, that this is happening during the COVID period.
Exactly. Definitely, that is a really, really good point. As she mentioned, there are a lot of people also who thought that the cicadas might be a factor, but then there are some conflicting factors that would rule that out. It's just everything that they've come up with so far, for the most part, could be true in a certain number of those cases, but then there are other situations where it absolutely would be ruled out.
But most of them have this bacterium in there, right?
Yes, yes. And it does seem to be contagious among those certain species of birds. And that's why they are advising people to stop the practice of using bird feeders and bird baths at this particular time, since if a diseased bird comes and is to the bird bath or to the bird feeder, then if it is contagious, and they're not sure that it is, but if it is, I mean, indications are pretty good that it is among the birds, that would really be a practice to stop at this point.
These are crazy times, Cheryl, aren't they?
Crazy. It's almost hard to keep up with everything that's happening. It's happening so fast in so many different areas all around us. It's like you kind of want to go into a cave and just take a vacation sometimes.
Next up, let's go to Beverly in Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Bev. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I was just calling. They were saying that in Ohio, it's like the lower part of Ohio that it's been at. Happening. I haven't been feeding the birds, but I was telling my brother, and he's in Minnesota, and I said, I have this blue jay that keeps coming to this fence. It's a chain link fence, and he lands on the one end of the fence and then hops all the way down to the other end of the fence. And it was happening like 4 or 5 days in a row. So it could have been something like that, but I haven't found any that were dead, but I only saw 2 birds in the last couple weeks. Male cardinal and a dove. And this is early for the robins to be gone already. So I'm not sure what's happening, but I have, you know, it's happening up here too.
What's your gut tell you, Cheryl?
Well, it's you know, and I'm not a bird expert by any stretch of the imagination, but Laura did want to keep making the point that there are a lot of natural bird deaths that occur naturally. For a lot of different reasons, for running into buildings, for weather, for the because of wildfires, the droughts, and so on. So that just because we have a massive bird die-off doesn't mean that it's some sort of weird, mysterious virus or something that has escaped from a lab, heaven forbid. But it is happening, and what they... You know, what they zero in on is the unusual nature of what's happening, and that is what has happened here in all of these states because they've had an unusual amount of dead birds reported.
Next up, let's go to Joyce in Arizona. Welcome to the program. Hi, Joyce. Go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we sure can.
In the monsoons are here. My husband and I have an animal rescue. And we've seen a lot of animals dying, like the birds, horses, dogs, cats. And I had like the COVID like 4 years ago before it had a name. And I see and I've heard that pesticide poisoning, it's called a fungus glyphosate. And it's killing everybody. It's called aflatoxin fungus. And we lived in North Carolina, and we had a lot of dogs die. They were being poisoned. And they found out that there was a fungus on the corn in the dog food. And we took them to the vets, and no one could definitively say what it was. And now I'm seeing with this, if you go to the CDC webpage for pesticide poisoning for humans, it says the diarrhea, the throwing up, the headaches, the skin lesions, respiratory pneumonia, because they gave me antibiotics, everything, and nothing would stop it. And it was a fungus, and they gave me liquid prednisone in my IV, and that's the only thing that saved me. 2 doses, 2 days, and I was right back 100% better. So now I take colloidal silver every day, 60 parts per million.
That works. That helps.
But the point is, and I haven't been sick for 5 years, but the point is, it's pesticide poisoning, and there'll be blood coming out of their mouth. The animals, I had necropsies on some of my dogs. They were melting inside from this fungus, and
wow.
It's killing the birds. I feed the birds, and it's the corn. It's the bird seed, and I have tame birds too, and they call it wasting disease, and it's the corn. Some corn has it, and some doesn't, and that's what's killing the birds, like DDT.
And the honeybee situation, it might be all related, Cheryl.
It possibly could be. There's a lot of concern over the GMO corn and the glyphosate. That's something that I think they're looking into, because that always comes up, the pesticide influence.
You know, they always say that the simplest solution is generally the answer. Is there a simple solution to this?
Well, apparently there isn't, or they wouldn't continue to be so perplexed. I think, as Laura expressed, the problem that they face is that there are so many different factors involved, and it's just so difficult to really pinpoint it, to see what causes each of these symptoms, and especially in this case, where it's the crusty eyes and the discharge in the eyes and the neurological symptoms. So it's a whole different combination. Now, they've had those separate symptoms before, but she's told me that this particular combination was very unusual.
Absolutely, indeed. Cheryl, what's your next project? What do you continue looking for?
Well, I'm looking at several options for next month and haven't really decided which one that we're going to we'll be sharing in next month's show, but that's to be announced later on.
Isn't it unbelievable? But the next time you're with us, it's the end of August going into September.
I don't know where the time goes. There's so much happening, and it seems like month to month we're living in a completely different world.
It keeps changing too.
Sure does.
Have you sensed that people are at a breaking point?
Yes, I certainly have. And as I have always said, I have always been very concerned about the censorship. The censorship issue is, I think it's just tearing us apart. And what's happening with all of the issues that we're facing with everything that's going on with all of the mandates and all of that, with those constantly changing, I don't think we would be in this situation if we didn't have the censorship and the banning of information, because if you allow people to have open discussion and open debate about the different issues, they're not suspicious, and people are able to balance the information and make their own decisions. And I think the freedom of choice is something that we really, really need to be aware of, that we really need to hang on to.
We're going to come back and take final calls with Cheryl Jones in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Hollywood's Mark Zakrie joins us to talk about some scary movies, The Twilight Zone, and some others. We'll have some fun. Then, of course, those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Cheryl Jones, our final segment here as we take your open line calls. What do you think our friend, the late Edgar Mitchell, would have said about that report, Cheryl?
I think he would probably have been like most of us, had mixed feelings, very glad that it's come to this point where it's public and the government, the Pentagon, has admitted that UFOs, UAPs are real, that there's something there, so that validates all of the veteran researchers, including Edgar Mitchell, over the years, who have never varied in their stand. I think he probably wouldn't have been surprised. Edgar knows how it works.
Yeah.
And you can't really expect, just because you want it, that they're going to deliver to you what you want. And we don't know the rest of the story. We don't really know what the situation will be when we find out that we're not alone, that they're here among us, perhaps.
Well, he was already a believer in ETs.
Oh, definitely. In fact, he talked about the need at some point in the future for us to prepare to move off planet. Now, whether that would be in our lifetime or sometimes lifetimes later. He was not specific about that, but he was a true believer.
Let's go to the phones. Final second for you, Cheryl. Let's pick it up by going to Kathy in Alta Loma, California. First time caller. Hi, Kath. Go ahead.
Yes. Hello, George.
Hi.
Hi. I was commenting on your interview. Yes, because when I was a teenager in the 80s, they sprayed malathion in the early morning. And I was very concerned because when I went to school, there was a film on our windshield. I did walk to school, but all the caterpillars, the ones that I remember, the black and orange ones,
all dead.
They were gone.
Yeah.
They were gone.
Well, there's no question, Cheryl, that what they're doing to the environment has been devastating. Some countries now are banning glyphosate, which you find in Roundup.
Yes.
And that's probably one of the smartest things they can do.
Yes. And all of the spraying that has been going on, whether it's from the sky, which is commonly called chemtrails or geoengineering, I know a lot of people have been concerned about that over the years. There's mosquito spraying. There's all kinds of spraying going on. I think we are becoming a lot more aware. People are more informed than ever before about the dangers of these chemicals, and that's a good thing. Now, whether we can get it under control and clean up our environment and stop this from happening, who knows, but awareness is the key.
Next up, Walter's with us, Pennsylvania. Walter, go ahead, sir.
Hi, George. George, I think the best thing we can do for the birds and the bees and the monarch butterflies is to get over our fixation with having these golf green lawns. George, from an ecological standpoint, we got to get over our, we're brainwashed into thinking that lawns are natural and beautiful, and they're not. I mean, things that were normally in the past considered noxious weeds like milkweed, the monarch butterflies need the milkweed to survive. So we have to, look at these things that were normally considered weeds as native plants and wildflowers. Now, another thing I'd like to say is, you can talk about chemicals and this and that, and the farmers, in my opinion, the glyphosate is a valuable asset to the farmers now. I'm not saying that, some of the chemicals are bad and this and that. But, George, you have to remember that mass extinctions have occurred all through geologic time. 99% of the species that have ever existed, George, are already extinct.
Sure.
So extinction is a natural process. It's
They were created and made extinct by some event, though.
And I tell Tom, George, I like to correlate Mr. Gorga, your previous guest, with Ms. Jones's saying that, Christ said supposedly that, behold the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap, or yet your heavenly Father takes looks after them. So obviously, George, Christ wasn't aware of evolutionary concepts like survival of the fittest and natural selection. So, in biblical times, there were no microscopes, telescopes. It's based on ignorance, George. So,
but what are you saying, though, about the chemicals? Use them?
Well, George, they say that, AOC wants to ban commercial airliners. Well, you can say that, an airliner is like a smokestack without a scrubber on it. A four-engine 747, and when he burns that fuel, there are heavy metals in that fuel. There's lead, there's cadmium, even traces of arsenic. And, George, what goes up has to come down. And who knows what those heavy metals are doing, So we can, are you going to agree with AOC that we should ban airliners?
I don't think we can ban airliners, but who knows if they're polluting us. Cheryl, what do you think of all of that? What do you think of Walter?
Well, I think he's got some good points. Obviously, there's a risk versus benefit in everything, and I think that so many things that are happening now, they're kind of overlooking that there's certain things that we can't live without in our society, and I think one is the travel by airlines. There's always a downside and another side to everything that, that happens, so we just hope that those making those decisions have a good sense and common sense and logic about which way they balance that the pros and cons.
We're with our investigative reporter, Cheryl Jones. Her website is her name, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Next up, it's Ron's turn in Berrien Springs, Michigan. Hello, Ron. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Cheryl, and good morning, George.
Hi there.
All the songbirds have disappeared from my area. I mean, you know, it's not all over. I'm in southwest Michigan, on the Indiana border. But you know as well as I do, there's no more bugs on the windshields. There's no more butterflies. And I'll tell you, it's like that last caller said. Everybody around me, their lawns are perfect. And then we still have lots of farms. And then you see this giant corn. I call it poison corn.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I was dosed with Agent Orange. You know, I'm rotting.
Thank you, by the
here,
way,
but
for serving.
And you know, Cheryl and George, you know, you say we're getting closer to space travel. You know, if there's space beings out there and they're watching us and they're seeing us destroy ourselves, our worlds, our creatures, our beautiful birds, do you think for a minute they're going to allow us on their soil, their whatever they have? I would not allow us anywhere near their worlds if I were those people. I would destroy us. Would you want our people, our thinking on virgin land with destroy us before we could ever get near their places?
They're probably watching us now saying, who are these people? They're killing each other every day.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Cheryl?
I think Ron has a good point. And just like he said, in southwestern Michigan, where he is seeing a loss of the songbirds. So that borders Indiana, another state, one of the 10 states that Laura Kearns mentioned. And the bugs on the windshield, he's got a point.
I haven't noticed that, but he's right. I don't see a lot of bugs splattered on windshields anymore.
No, and I don't see butterflies and lightning bugs, another thing that I haven't seen in a long time.
Next up, let's go to Annie in Alabama. Hello, Annie. Go ahead.
Hello, George. Thank you for taking my call. You're Hello, welcome. Cheryl.
Hi there.
Hey there. You know, I have a bird sanctuary, and I don't allow any chemicals on my property, not even plywood, because that's a chemical, too. If I'm going to make repairs, it's going to be with the original tongue and groove lumber. I don't use any kind of Chinese drywall or any kind of junk. Anything that comes in a 4x8 sheet is poison. Remember that. It's got to be cut straight from the tree by the lumber yard. And do you know, Nick Baggage wrote that book, Angels Don't Play This Harp. I'd like for you to interview him and ask him if he thinks it has anything to do with harp or maybe even chemicals.
Well, you know, Nick's been on the program about 72 times, and he always comes on. He's a great guest. Do you know him, Cheryl?
I don't know him personally, but I've heard him a lot, and his work is really exceptional.
Yeah, he's good. And he's talked about harp before and some of the strange things that it does. Let's go next to Brian in Rialto, California. Hello, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Hey, George. How are you doing? I've been a longtime listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Cheryl, I have a question. Have you ever heard about, like, the Earth's magnetic field changing? And for some reason, you know, like, we're seeing a lot of fish, like, come up from the oceans. We're seeing a lot of whales coming up. I'm feeling that maybe it has to do with, like, the magnetic field. And I also feel that the sun is spewing out a lot more energy towards the Earth, which is heating up the core system internally. And that's why we're starting to see, like, a little bit more volcanic activity the past, like, 10 years, you know, stuff like that. I mean, have you heard of that theory?
I've heard something about that. Now, I do know that birds can see Earth's magnetic fields, and so there is some correlation.
Oh, and when that field switches, they go kooky.
Yes, yes. Yes, and that's something to consider. It affects their sense of direction. They avoid going near the geomagnetic fields. They use those fields to kind of gauge their direction, and they don't seem to scare or harm the birds, but, that is a factor.
Let's go to Sue in North Carolina. Hello, Sue. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, George.
Hello.
It's Cheryl, yes. My question was, number one, the biologist she spoke to, Laura?
Yes.
Maybe I wasn't listening right, but I got the impression that she didn't mention anything specific about autopsies. And number two, I was wondering, has there been any cases of these birds dying in Europe? Thank you.
She did not mention Europe. Her focus was basically on Ohio and the Midwestern area, the surrounding states, because that's what her job is. But
they've looked at these birds. They've autopsied them, haven't they?
Oh, yes, they do.
Many of them.
And she talked about sending them to the bird labs, and there are various labs around the country that the wildlife department send their birds to for the forensic analysis. So, yes, they do autopsies. And in my conversation, we couldn't get everything in the interview, but in my conversation we discussed the autopsies. And she said it is they just can't get every dead bird in for an autopsy, as you can understand. They get the birds that they have access to, that are given to them, or that they collect from the wildlife rehabilitators or whatever their sources are. And they do as many autopsies as the number of birds they have to do so. And they certainly want people to continue to send them the birds for autopsies after they freeze them and put them in a plastic bag. And every, as she mentioned, every state on their Wildlife Division of Natural Resources, if you go to your state's website, they can tell you what they want you to do and who to contact and how exactly to handle that. So everybody's working together in these fields to see that the research is done as much as possible and the autopsies are performed.
Let's squeeze a quick question out of John in Kalamazoo. Go ahead, John.
Yes. Good to talk to you, George.
Thank you.
I'm in Kalamazoo, Michigan here, and I've lost the cowbirds, European starlings, the sparrows, and the adult hairy woodpeckers and flickas.
Gee, do you find them dead, or they're just gone?
They're just gone from the earth, and there's this Roger Taylor, bird specialist guy, that's on the radios on the weekends here in Michigan, and he was telling about that if you find them dead in the yard or gone like that, that you're supposed to bring the feeders in and wash them out, sterilize them, and not put them back out for 2 weeks, and then feed again in a 2-week period.
Cheryl, I wonder if there's somebody out there in these areas poisoning these birds.
Well, that would be a very difficult task because it's so widespread. You'd have to have a lot of people doing that, and they'd have to be very, very busy. I would think that might be, a hard task to pull off. But in reference to his comment about the bird feeders and the bird baths, she did mention that, and that is something that
sterilize them.
Everybody knows that they need to just discontinue that practice for now until this is resolved.
Cheryl, we'll see you at the end of August.
Well, I can't wait.
Get ready. It's going to come up fast. My gosh, end of August we're talking about already. It's going to be a fast year, folks. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, Ryan Stacey, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.